book of Luke, chapter 17, we're going to look at something here. And Brother Kyle mentioned it this morning as he was leading songs, because it has to do with Thanksgiving. And we're going to look at something here. We're going to look at verses 11 through 19. And we're thinking about Thanksgiving. So we're going to look at the lepers. And as we go through this, you're going to see that there were 10 lepers. And there was one that came back to give thanks to Christ for the healing that he received, for the miracle that he received. And so that being said, out of 10 of them, if one of them came back, or one of them did come back, that means that only 10% of the people that received that healing came back and gave Christ thanks for that. And that's probably about the same average that it is today, because it's not a natural thing for people to give thanks. Even to give thanks to God, we tend to think God's all-powerful, he can do whatever, and we've got to be careful, because we can begin to think he should do this for me, but it's because of God's grace and mercy that he helps us, and we just think we have it coming to us, and so why would we give God thanks? Our children can be the same way. They just think they have it coming to them. When's the last time that one of the children, your children, and even my children included, after they received a good meal or had a warm bed to sleep in or taken care of, that they would thank you for that? They just don't. They don't think about it because they think they deserve it. They think that's part of your obligation and duty. And so why give you thanks? And we can become that way with God too. When God is so good to us, he gives us bountiful blessings. He helps us. He keeps us in good health. He sustains us. He makes sure that we have work. We can easily begin to think, God just owes that to me. That's just what God does. And then we don't go back and give him thanks. But we need to give God thanks. So let's read this story here in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, about Jesus healing the 10 lepers. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. So we want to dwell on this thought a little bit. In verse 17, But where are the 9? Where are the 9? Are you the one that's the one that came back to give thanks? To give thanks, or are you, where are the 9? Because I did this thing, there's only this one that's a stranger. He's an outcast. He's a Samaritan. We've been talking about that quite a bit here. But he was the one that came back and gave the Lord thanks. And it doesn't say that he just come back and says, Oh, thank you, Jesus. It said he fell at his feet giving him thanks. That's true thanks. If you fall at somebody's feet, that's a form of worship, and just say, thank you so much for what you have done for me. But Jesus was glad that this man came back and gave thanks, but he wanted to know, where's the other 9? Didn't I heal 10, but there's only one that comes back and gives me thanks? And so over the past year in your life, what's the greatest thing that God has done in your life this year? You stop and you think, and it's like, well, I can't really think of anything outstanding, and I don't really have anything to thank God for. Be careful that you're not one of the other 9 that has an ungrateful heart. Now, I don't think their heart was totally ungrateful. I'm sure that they were glad they were healed of this leprosy, because leprosy is a sickness and a disease that you don't want. You'll get a mark on your skin. And if I got leprosy on my finger, what that leprosy would do, the way my understanding is of leprosy, it would be like an open sore area going on in my skin, and it would eat my finger right off. And I don't know if it would stop at the base of the finger or if it would keep going and eat my hand up. It's a flesh-eating disease. And if you would think if there was 10 that were healed and 9 didn't come back and give thanks, you can't help but think that they were glad that they were rid of that sickness and disease. I would be. If I had something like that that was eating my skin up and I had to be separate from the rest of the community, I couldn't live in the community. I had to keep myself separate. There was a big ritual that they had to go through. The rules and laws on that are written in the Old Testament, what the lepers had to do. But where are the other 9? I can't help but think they had some gratitude in their heart, but they didn't come back and worship Jesus and say, thank you for what you've done. Many times I think that we fall into the other 9. We have gratitude and we have thanks in our heart, but we don't come back and say, thank you, Jesus. That's why it's good when there's an answer to prayer and you've had a prayer request. Sister Todd is really good at this. She'll come in with prayer requests, and when an answer is received to those prayer requests, she will come back and give a testimony giving God thanks for what he has done. She doesn't have to do that. There's nowhere in the scripture it commands us to do that. But she definitely has a grateful heart because the prayer request was met. God intervened in the situation. Amen. But she comes back to give praise and to give thanks to God. I don't want to be the other 9. I don't want to be the other 9. So what's the greatest thing that God has done for you in your life this year? Has it been the job that he has given you and helped you to have? And there's some uncertainty in job situations in the economy that we're living. If you listen to the news and you follow what the economists are saying, and because of the inflation, I'm not an economist, and it gets difficult to understand how this all works. But the situation that our economy is in right now, there is predicted that to get this thing leveled out and straightened out, there has to be a slowdown. There's going to be layoffs. There's going to be people without work, people without jobs. And so if you had a job this year, have you thanked God for that job that you have this year? Or you just think, oh, it's God's way of taking care of me. He sort of owes that to me. God really doesn't owe us anything. And there can be other things, outstanding things that happened in your lives this year. God could have helped you to get a property this year, or some big purchase that you had to make this year, and you can see God all through it, but you don't come back and give him thanks. God wants us to come back and give him thanks. Amen. In Psalms chapter 100, and we can get a lot of sermons out of what I just looked at there in the story of the 10 lepers, but we're looking on, where are the other 9? Where are the other 9? Psalms chapter 100, verses 4 and 5. And let's see what it says here. Psalms 100, verses 4 and 5. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. That's what it says right up here. Enter, the Bible says into his thanksgiving, but enter his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. And so the password to enter into his courts, the password to get in there close to God, is thanksgiving. It's thanksgiving, to come in with a thankful heart. Many times when we come before God, we don't come in with a thankful heart. We come in with, I need, I need, I need, I want, I want. Lord, I'm sending an SOS signal to you. I'm in dire straits here. I don't know what I'm going to do. I need you to help. Even when we have circumstances like that, because those lepers did, that was not a good thing that they had. But they need to come in with thanksgiving. The one came back with thanksgiving. We need to come into his courts, okay? We come into his gates with thanksgiving. And then we enter into his courts with praise. It's the password of getting the attention of God, is to come in with thanksgiving. God, I thank you for all that you've ever done for me. But don't be, a little bit greedy with your prayer. Well, they taught me that down at the church, and so I'm just going to start my prayers that way. God, I thank you for all that you've done for me, but let's get to the point, God. This is what I really need. No, we need to really have a grateful heart and thank God for what he has done to him, or done for us. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. He sustains us. He helps us. He gives us life. And even when things in our life doesn't go as good as we think it should go, God is still the one that is helping us. Amen. Verse 5 says it this way, for the Lord is good. God is good. Amen. That doesn't change. There's some sicknesses going on in our, we'll say, our immediate family, in the Eastman family, and the ones that we're married in different situations and different ones in our family. That doesn't change the fact that God is good. God is still good.
Right.
And His mercy is everlasting. Thank God that His mercy is everlasting. Because I don't think we've all been really good and wonderful this year that God couldn't have dropped the hammer of judgment on us because of something that we did that we were in disobedience to Him. But His mercy is everlasting. He's touched the feelings of our infirmities. When we make a mess up, He understands why we made the mess up. That's not giving us an excuse to have a mess up. But God understands His mercy is everlasting. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He knows what it's like to feel the pressure of the enemy coming in like a flood against us. But the Bible teaches us when the enemy comes in like a flood against us, it says the Spirit of God will raise up a standard against him.
That's
he
right,
can't
amen.
Defeat us. He can't overcome us.
That's
something to give God thanks for. Because if God wasn't there to help us, the devil would overcome every one of us. Because we couldn't do it on our own. But His mercy is everlasting. And His truth endureth to all generations. But the fact of the matter is, sometimes it's not easy to give thanks. It's not easy to give thanks. If you need a healing in your body and you haven't received it yet, it's not easy to give thanks. I've given thanks even before I received my healing. This leper came back and gave thanks after he received his healing. But it's not easy to give thanks at all times when you haven't received your healing. If your finances are tight, it's not easy to give thanks to God. If there's a shortfall and you can't pay the bills and you have financial obligations, what do I have to give thanks to God about? But it says in this word that we read, be thankful unto Him and bless His name.
Amen.
It's not easy to give thanks unto God when we're loaded up with the pressures of life. The things that come against us. Sometimes things change in our lives. Things that we didn't expect. And it's a pressure that's put upon us. But God wants us to continue to have a thankful heart. And to bless His name. Because it doesn't change the fact that God is good. Amen. When things change in our life. God, You're a good God. And I'm going to need Your help in this situation. But what is it for us? Why is it so difficult to give thanks? It's too easy for us to focus on our needs instead of on what we already have. It's easy to focus on the lack that we have. I don't have enough. I don't have enough finances. I don't have the job. I don't have this. I haven't received that healing. But think of all the things that God has done for you. It doesn't mean He's not going to heal you. God wants us to focus on what we have and not focus on what we don't have. Paul and Silas in the book of Acts, what were they doing at the midnight hour? And you've heard a lot of sermons about this. At one of the darkest times in their life, they were singing and giving praise and thanks unto God. And in the dark hour of your life, and it doesn't look good, it looks like it's going to be the end. I mean, these men were beaten with whips. They were locked up in stocks and bonds. It was in a bad situation that they were in. And it was for the sake of the gospel, because they were preaching the gospel. They could have turned against God and said, God, look at the mess that we got into because we're preaching Your gospel. But they didn't look at it that way. They were thankful that they were able to suffer for the cause of Christ. And they were singing and giving praises unto God in one of the darkest moments of their life. And what happened? And when you sing and give praises to God in one of the darkest moments of your life, think about this last year. We all had some dark moments. Some of us darker than others. But at those dark moments that you had in your life, how did you handle it? What did you do? And I would challenge you tonight, whenever you face those dark moments in life, to sing and give praises to God. Because when you do that, the prison doors that was holding them in were broken. There was an earthquake that happened. And And it says this, the other prisoners that were with them, not only were Paul and Silas set free, but the people around them were set free too. You can be the key that brings deliverance to somebody else in a situation that they face, in the thing that you're facing. If you sing and give praises to God and the chains and the bonds fall off of you, it can have a ripple effect, and chains and bonds can start falling off of other people around you.
Yeah.
It happened there with Paul and Silas. Amen. And so, what happened? All of their chains were broken. And why was that? Just from giving thanks unto God. They were singing and praising. They were singing and making melody in their hearts unto God. They weren't happy with the situation that they were in. You get to heaven if you want to, and I don't think you will. You won't remember it probably. But you could talk to Paul and Silas. Were you okay with what happened to you? They would say, no, we weren't okay with it. It wasn't a good thing. It was injustice that was happening, an injustice that happened to us. But yet they didn't blame it on God, because they knew what it says in the book of Psalms. Be thankful unto him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. Amen. So, what would you have thought if you'd have been Paul or Silas? We probably would have thought this. God, why did you let me get beat? Why did you let me get put into prison? Why am I in these stocks and bonds? And so the bottom line is this in our own lives. We can read about Paul and Silas and we can give us a fuzzy feeling. We're like, oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, I want to be like that. But here's the fact of the matter. When things begin to happen in our life, it's hard to understand why certain things happen. I can't get over that hump. Why did this happen? What did I do to deserve this? Where am I going to go from here? And then we almost feel like the words that Jesus said when he was on the cross, we almost feel like saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You left me here all alone. The enemy's going to eat me up. This thing's going to devour me. It's hard to understand why certain things happen. But when certain things happen to us that are hard to understand, it's proper and it's good for us to keep a good attitude in those situations. Mm-hmm. It's something a little bit different. Sister Judy's testimony. And she did. She let her husband know she wasn't happy, so I'm not insinuating that she was being grumpy and unthankful, but it was hard to understand why that happened. But the attitude through the situation is important. That happened for a reason. Well, you know, that's a terrible thing that happened. That's not a good thing. I don't wish that on anybody. But if you would have went down the road farther, who knows? There could have been somebody could have come over in his time. There could have been a terrible accident. We don't know why things happen the way they happen. And so it's hard to understand why certain things happen to us. And so being thankful for us, and this is a scripture that you can't talk about Thanksgiving without bringing this one up. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you want to turn over there, you can. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to look at 16, 17, and 18. And these are all scriptures about being thankful. Rejoice evermore. Just rejoice. Just be joyful. Oh, I praise you, God. Sister Judy was probably down there by the roadside with her hands in the air helping her husband. I don't know if she was. Help out, helping him look for that tire and that drum that was missing. She's just out there with her hands in the air. Oh, thank you, God. Lord, I don't know why this happened. Oh, God, I just give you thanks and praise today. Lord, you're so good to us. She don't have to thank God that the tire came off, but in the midst of looking for all of that, she can still have praise and thanksgiving in her heart, because that doesn't change God. Oh, God, you're so good to us. Lord, I thank you for your blessings on us. And as she's doing that, then maybe, and I'm not saying she was, I'm just picking on her a little bit. She's my sister. Then maybe they would have found the drum for that vehicle. It would have been like, oh, there it is. I wasn't even really caring if I found that thing or not. But just have that grateful, thankful heart. Oh, God, you're so good to me. I thank you. We rejoice evermore. We pray without ceasing. We're always prayerful. Oh, God, help this one. Help that situation. And then the last one, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. Not thanking God that the tire fell off. Not thanking God that I'm sick and the doctors say there's nothing we can do for you. But in everything giving thanks unto God, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We have to live in a thankful state. Are you living in a thankful state? Where are the other nine? Where are you tonight? Are you the one that comes back and gives thanks, or are you amongst the other nine? You just sort of think, God owes this to me. What do I have to give him thanks for? We have to live in a state of thankfulness. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 4. We're almost done here. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 4. It says this here. It says, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather, and this is the part we want, but rather giving thanks. Be careful with your words. Be careful with your words. Don't be grumpy about things. Don't be growly about things. Don't be mean about things. Filthiness or foolish talking or jesting, which are not convenient. They're not convenient for us. Amen. It's not fitting. But rather, we're giving thanks unto God. We give thanks unto God. We have to watch our word. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. Just a few more scriptures and we'll be done. Galatians 6, 2. Bear ye one another's burdens. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. To live in that state of thankfulness, we should show kindness to others. Bear ye one another's burdens. Glad I'm not Sister Judy, Brother Tom. Man, my vehicle's running. I got all four wheels on. All drums are on here. Everything's going good. Glad I'm not them. We bear one another's burdens. Things are working out, but should her husband have to have work this week and needed transportation? We know there's the insurance issue, and if you had two vehicles, perhaps God would speak to you. Let them lend one of your vehicles to them so that he can get to work this week. We bear one another's burdens. We help each other with that. If you see somebody carrying a heavy load, offer help. You may be very limited on what you can do, but in this case, it's a thought that counts. I'm offering help. I'm going to bear one another's burdens. And that's the scripture that we just read there, 6:2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 11. In the midst of all of this, there's things that God wants us to do. It says this, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. God wants us to give generously. And that's not just talking about money. Give of your times, your abilities, your talents. You might have food in your house that if you don't use it pretty soon, me and my wife go back and forth on this. I call it outdated. If something's outdated, I don't want it in my cupboard. A few years ago, I stirred up a lot of trouble over there on Birch Street. I went through my cupboards, and I had a big garbage bag, and if anything was outdated, it went right in the garbage. My wife was not pleased with me. She said, that's foolish. That just means that you should use it by that date, that you don't have to. But you might have some things in your cupboard. We was talking about this morning, hearing the voice of God. It might all of a sudden come real strong to you. Don't do it to the pastor. Sometimes I wonder if some people did give us some of these things. I was looking at some things down in my shelf that my wife has. She doesn't know it. There's some tomato soup down there. I'm not going to eat it. It says best if used by, I think it's 2019. I'm not going to open that. There might be green mold in there for all I know. She would say you're crazy. There's dates on there for a reason. But the point that I'm making, pastors have said this in the past. A lot of times people don't know what to do with something when it's about outdated. Well, bless the pastor. We'll pack it up. We'll give it to him. Back in this church, the tradition used to be at Thanksgiving time, which would be this Sunday, that my mother loved it. The church would have a big basket of food that they would give to the pastor, his wife, and his family. And they also included in there a turkey. And my mother looked forward to that. I remember her taking that upstairs. We'd have to get it up there, and she would go through everything, looking at it and that. But, you know, it's outdated. I'm going to give generously. We got to bring in food. We're going to give it to the pastor, but I'm going to go through. Oh, that's about outdated. I'll give that. Oh, this one's 5 years outdated. I'll give it to the pastor. You know, I pray that the Lord keeps him safe, that he don't get food poisoning from it. God wants us to give generously. God wants us to give generously. And it's not just money. And then the last thing that we can do to help us not be one of the nine, where are the other nine? We're going to, for the last scripture, 1 Peter chapter 3. In verse 15, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, I don't want to be among the other nine. 3:15 says this, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready, 1 Peter 3:15, that's what I'm reading, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Why don't we share this? It'll help us to have thankful hearts. Share your testimony. You need to remember where God brought you from. You need to remember our sister when she was testifying tonight. She has enough sense to realize if it wouldn't be for God in her life, she was talking about some possibilities where she could be tonight. You need to share your testimony. That'll cause you to have a grateful, thankful heart. Where would I be tonight? Well, I was born into this. You know, I was born into a Christian home, and this is just my inheritance, and we're sort of like the king's family, and we just pass it down from generation to. No, it doesn't work that way in God's thing. Your testimony is important, and you need to be ready to give an answer to every man that asks you through a reason of the hope that is in you. And we give that answer to him with meekness and with fear. And that fear that it's talking about there, it's a reverential or a reverence and an awe, realizing what God has done for me. I'm so grateful that what God has done for me. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Amen. And we're going to sing that song. I think it's a song. We're going to make it a song if it's not a song. Amen. He's done so much for me. I cannot tell it all. I cannot tell it all. I cannot tell it all. He's done so much for me. I cannot tell it all. He's been so good to me. Something like that it goes. But where are the other nine? Are you one of the other nine tonight? You have to work on this. It's not our natural tendency to be grateful and thankful. It's always the lack of. I don't have enough. I need. Be careful about the wants. But we need to be not the other nine, but we need to be that one that came back to give thanks. Amen. He's done so much for me. I cannot tell. Well, that's a song we sing, isn't it? Amen. We're going to sing that tonight. Amen. And examine your own heart. Think and let God speak to you. Let the Holy Spirit give you an unction tonight where maybe you need to pick up a little bit. Amen. And make it a point this week to go to somebody and to thank them for something. Thank them for something. It might be hard for some of us to think like, oh, you did this or that. Go to our children. Thank you for making your bed. Thank you for being a good son or good daughter. And we can even do that with husband and wife and people that you work with. Have a thankful heart this week. He's done so much for me, I cannot tell it all.